Part three. So we're going to take a further look at these governing principles of breakthrough believers. Tonight we're going to cover honoring covenant relationships in marriage, family, ministry team, and church life. So we're going to start off tonight's lesson by first building a foundation on what covenant is and its significance, and as it relates to the kingdom of God and breakthrough believers. Now, what is a covenant? A covenant is a written agreement or promise, usually under seal, between two or more parties, especially for the performance of a common agenda, which can only be broken or nullified by death. I want to start off by saying this. I believe that the mafia, gang members, they know more about covenant than a lot of church folk. Because they'll risk their lives for whoever they're following, who, you know, their brothers and sisters and that sort of thing and stuff. But in the but in Christendom, you know, we are so, I don't know, I think it's because we don't really have an understanding of covenant, really. You know, while we're so divided, you know, there's so much division in the household of God. But if we truly understand covenant, then we'll understand that in order for God to get his purpose done in the earth, we have to understand that God has brought us together for a particular purpose. So, and the thing that holds covenant together, the glue that holds covenant together is the agape love of God. Yes, all right. So, I mean, in any relationship, if there's no agape, it's really not a relationship. Yes, y'all with me? Yes, all right. So, in true godly covenant, it is not about what the other person can do for you. I get this. Most relationship is built off of filial love, brotherly love, you know, you scratch my back, I scratch your back, and that kind of thing and stuff. It's not really built off of the agape love. I talked to a gentleman this morning, and he was saying to me, he said that he said, you know, my wife is having some challenges, and, she's not as affectionate as she used to be. And so, you know, she's not really being a wife to me. He said it to me like that. I say, so you're saying to me that your marriage is based on performance, yes, sir, instead of love. He said, well, I mean, I didn't think about it like that. I said, no. What's going to happen if she gets to the point where she can't perform, she can't clean up, she can't do a wifely duties? What's going to happen then? Are you going to still be in love with her, or are you going to look for some kind of help otherwise? He said, well, no, I hadn't thought about that. Well, it's not about what you can do for each other. That's not what it's about. But what you can do for the other person, period. Not caring about what they can do for you. That's covenant. Now, covenant provides the protection of the protection and security that is needed for the parties to be honorable and accountable to each other on their journey together. It has to be an accountability. It has to be when you are in covenant, it's just like, you know, if I'm going to be late or something for school or whatever, I always make sure that I make a phone call so somebody can let a pastor know I'm going to be late. Just being accountable. You understand what I'm saying? So when he's looking for me and I don't show up, well, he knows where I am. In covenant, that's what it's about. It's not. It's. Let me get a little further. Let me get a little further into this. So covenant will quicken or make alive the relationship until it bears the fruit of its purpose. The common denominator in all covenant relationships should be the fulfillment of God's agenda. That's what it's about. It's about God's agenda. So even in a marriage relationship, it's about God's, because God is trying to get offspring out of the relationship. offspring. That's why God said about Abraham, said that he said, I can trust Abraham because Abraham going to teach his family. He's going to teach his children after him. You with me? So it's all about preparing for the next generation. That's what it's about. Covenant. All right. So there is a said value, purpose, destiny, or intention that the parties involved in a covenant work together, work towards together to fulfill. And it's called the kingdom agenda. All right. If you're in a ministry and you're supposed to be in covenant with the leader, in covenant with those that are in that congregation, because God is, that's a specific purpose that God is trying to get in the earth, and he's going to use that family to do it. That I'm talking about that church family. He's going to use the strength of the church in order to influence the earth. That's what God's about, getting his agenda in the earth. But think about it. If we all have separate agendas, yes, sir. You know, and I've seen this, man, so much craziness and foolishness, and it's because people don't really understand the purposes and the will of God for their life. So person say, well, you know, I know apostle called for this, but the Lord called me for that. Yes, oh, no, God, that's not the way God operates. If God has put me under apostle, then guess what? Apostle agenda becomes my agenda. I don't have no separate agenda from here. Say, well, I can't do this because I got my own ministry going. Yeah, I have my own ministry. God's raising up people to help me to carry that out. But guess what? It's gonna be right in line with what apostles are doing. Amen. Hallelujah. So this has caused a lot of rigmarole in a lot of churches because folk really don't understand it. They don't understand. People come, they got their own agenda. They have their own agenda, you know. I think I said this, you know, when it comes down to the double portion anointing. All right. What the double portion anointing is. All right. God give you anointing. All right. Then God give your leader with an anointing that's greater than yours. Yeah. And then if you follow him properly and stuff, then you're going to have your anointing. Plus it's going to cause you to have the double. You understand what I'm saying? But if you don't follow closely, all you're going to wind up with is the one that you have. So now, they work together until the common agenda is achieved. Covenant is enhanced by the spirit of sacrifice and selflessness. Man, this is real potent. This is for meat eaters here. This is not for milk drinkers. You understand what I'm saying? This is for the mature. This is not for babes here, because when it comes down to sacrifice, making sacrifices, and you know, selflessness. When you're taking self out the way, God, I yield to your plan and you know, your will and your way. You understand what I'm saying? You know, I'm sure there's some things I could find to be doing tonight, yes, sir. But I'm in covenant with apostle. Yes. You understand what I'm saying? And so my job is to be here, yes, helping him to fulfill the vision that God gave him. So whatever sacrifice that I have to make, I have to make that sacrifice. I have to make that sacrifice. I can't be, you know, well, I got this here going on, got that going on, got the other going on. Well, I got somebody to take care of that for me. Well, I'm taking care of this because God gonna honor this, because covenant, man, is real close to God's heart. So covenant is not just an agreement. It's a lifestyle. The example of Jonathan and David's covenant is found in 1 Samuel 18 in verse 3 and 4. It said, then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him. He loved him. He loved him as himself. Oh, Lord. Jonathan stripped himself of that robe, was on him, and gave it to David. Now, look what else he did. See, this is what happens when covenant is really cut properly. He gave him his robe, right? Yes, then he gave him his armor including the sword of his bow and his belt. All right. So whenever a covenant is really made properly, then see what was happening by changing the robe, they were really changing places of authority. So now really changing that robe really what gave David the authority. Really, David, Jonathan was supposed to be the next king, right? But when they went in covenant, he took his robe off and gave it to David. Jonathan did. He gave it to David. And so he gave him his armor. That means that, okay, when I give my robe, that means that my authority has become your authority. Yeah. All right. Then he gives him the armor. And so that means that, you know, your battles now have become my battle. Yes, sir. And the sword, I mean, all the way down to his belt. So when you understand covenant, you understand the Bible says that in Deuteronomy 28, you hear all these blessings shall come upon you if you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. You know, you remember that? And then it starts talking about in the second portion, the 15th verse on down, and these curses shall come upon you. That would happen whenever these parties would come into covenant. And then the priest would get that. He pronounced the blessings. All of a sudden, after the priest announced the blessing, then he announced the curses. Why would, now if you look, I'm going to look at it right quick. Watch this in Deuteronomy 28. In Deuteronomy 28, how he starts talking about these blessings at first. And then all of a sudden, he hauls off and starts talking about curses. That's the way the priest would do whenever someone would come into covenant. The priest would begin to declare the blessing. But as soon as he finished declaring the blessing, he would begin to declare the curses. Now, the curses is more of the curses because they wanted to keep those two that was in covenant to discourage them from breaking the covenant. That's why there were more curses. Y'all with me? So it says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, and observe to do all of his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shall thou be in the city, blessed shall thou be in the field. Listen to the blessing. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flock of thy sheep. Blessed shall thou be when I see now the priest is pronouncing the blessings, right? Yeah. All right. So he pronounced the blessing all the way down till we get down to the 14th verse. And then when he get to the 15th verse, look what he says. He says, but it shall come to pass if thou shalt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe all his commandments and his statutes, which I commanded this day, that all these curses shall come upon you. And man, I mean, they got some curses. They go on and on and on with the curses. So, and like I said, the purpose of it was so that it would discourage the persons that were in covenant from breaking them.
Yes.
So the rewards were great for keeping the covenant, but the curses were even greater for breaking the covenant. So when a person thought about breaking the covenant, all these curses they had to deal with. You understand what I'm saying? So see, all this is God told Abraham, see, I bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you. That's covenant talk.
Yes,
sir. All that's covenant talk. You know, when Jehoshaphat went to battle and God said, God sent the prophet in the midst of, say, the battle is yours. The battle is not the Lord. That's covenant talk. Why the battle is not mine? Because God said, your enemy become my enemy.
Yes, sir.
And those that oppose you, I'll take care of them.
Yes,
see, when you understand covenant, that's why the Bible says, vengeance belong to me. I'm going to repay. If you don't understand covenant, then you just go try to fight the battle yourself. Anything you're going through, if you understand covenant, you understand that God cannot go back on his word. God can't do it. He absolutely can't go back on it. All right. Look at Psalms 89. Psalms 89. Hallelujah. God, I'm telling you, when we understand covenant, understand how God has fixed this thing. See, over in the Eastern culture, they understand a whole lot better than we do here. You know, and because we have this democracy mindset when those people have a kingdom mindset. You with me? And so by having a kingdom mindset, they understand that, you know, the word of the king is law and that kind of thing and stuff. But we got all kind of opinions. And so we look at a contract when those folk look at covenant. A contract, you know, folk break contracts every day. You with me? I mean, a person say, you know, they promise to pay, you know, for a car and that kind of thing and stuff. And things get tight and stuff. You know, they sign an agreement. They sign everything. They sign the contract. And then when things get hard, they say, well, somebody not going to get paid. Well, see, with a covenant, when you understand covenant, you understand that you when you make this agreement, I must come through.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. All right. I told you Psalms, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Psalms 89. Psalms 89. 34. It said, my covenant will I not break. That's God. Will I not break? I'm not going to break what I said. Nor alter the thing which has gone out of my lips. God said, I cannot. God said, I will not break my covenant. When God makes covenant, God will make it good. Every word of God is a covenant to us. Y'all with me? Every word that God has declared in this word, these 66 books, is a covenant to us. And how many of you know? God's got to come through on it. He's got to come. He's got to come through.
Yes, sir.
I say he got to come through. No matter what it looks like, he got to come through.
Yes,
praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, you know, we're sitting down, you know, we're watching the game, the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? And so we're sitting down watching the Super Bowl. Some of my brothers here, they all gone for Atlanta. You understand? And so I say, well, let's wait till the fourth quarter, y'all. Y'all go ahead on jumping, shouting stuff now. Let's wait till the fourth quarter. And that's just like God. Look like your life, the way your life is going, look like the enemy got to get an advantage of you.
Yes, sir.
Look like he's scoring points on you.
Yes, sir.
You with me?
Yes, sir.
But all of a sudden, God come through and bring a victory. I mean, just look like it's sweatless. They had to work three quarters to get to where they got to. And then the other team just worked one quarter and they went on and went. You understand what I'm saying? That's how covenant operates. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God always got our back. And so in that, though, God want us to have an understanding of covenant so we can have each other's back. See, we're not going to really be able to really be effective in the earth realm being divided. Y'all with me? So, all right. Now. So every breakthrough believer in the apostolic base must be trained to honor. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Got to be trained to honor. Whole lot of folk don't know nothing about honor. Don't know zip about honor. And so many times. People, because they don't understand honor, they think that, you know, you're trying to put a person up on a pedestal and that kind of thing and stuff. But the Bible says esteem others more highly than ourselves, right? Okay, so because they don't understand honor, see, God is a God of honor. You know, he said, honor your mother and father until your days will be long. He said over in Malachi, he said, if I be your father, where's my honor? God has always been high on honor, but a lot of times people in the house of God don't understand honor. And when you try to teach them honor, they feel like, you know, oh, man, you take something away from God. Oh, you honor the man. You honor the woman. Oh, this ain't God, because they have no understanding, of how God set things up. God set it up in a way where you honor. Now, your honor cannot for a person exceed the honor you have for God. No, you understand what I'm saying? But at the same token, you must not dishonor those who God has honored. God already honored. You with me?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
All right. So we got to be trained to honor. The bonds of covenant that exist within relationships ordained by God. God ordained the relationships.
Yes.
You with me?
Yes, sir.
See, just like, Pastor, with the people that you have that's around you, if they don't understand covenant, it'll undermine the very fabric of what God has told you to do. See, and a lot of times people come from different places and they don't really understand the agenda that God has given to the man of God. And so what happens is because they bring in their own agenda and they don't understand the covenant, God brought them in there so that they can cut covenant with that leader, so that they can help to bring to pass all the things that God has said to the leader.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. Now watch this. A lot of people say, well, God gave me dreams and God gave me, praise God. God does give everybody dreams. You understand? But the thing about it is, now, your dream should be interwoven with that person who God has placed in your life over you. Oh, shucks. Praise God. Amen. It's not going to be, if you got a vision apart from the vision of the house, that's division. And that ain't God. And so the only people who follow that kind of stuff is people who are immature, people who don't understand God, don't understand the covenant, don't understand how God has ordained things, how they're supposed to operate and that sort of thing. That's why Apostle trying to bring us back to today. You know, he was teaching about rediscovering the apostolic church. And so the reason why he said we have to rediscover it, because it's been lost and people don't understand how it's supposed to function. You understand what I'm saying? All the promises of God has all, it's a done deal already. You with me? It's already a done deal. So we trying to be something we already are. We trying to get something we already got. You with me? All we have to do is walk in that, walk in our sonship, walk in our thought. Understand that we're in covenant with God. What God said, he came. We just finished seeing what he said. He said, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the word, the thing that gone forth out of my mouth, my lips. Yes. So God came. If God said it, wait a minute, I won't find out if he said it.
Yes, sir.
But because if he said it, he going to make it good.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Praise God. So Now, this is the catchy right here. Those who walk in sin, deception, and hypocrisy will reject any loyalty, commitment, and integrity in any long-term relationship. Anybody who walk in sin, a person who really don't want to do the right thing, they're not going to hear nothing about no loyalty and that kind of thing. Know why? Because first of all, they can't be loyal to God. They can't be loyal to God. I mean, you know, they can fake it for a while, but how many of you know God, because it's not something that's in their heart, God will expose it. Now, there's a difference between good intentions and desires. The Bible said, delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll do what? Give us desires of our heart. So, you can have good intentions, but if your intentions are not as strong as your desires, then your desires is the thing that's going to be the GPS in your life that's going to lead and guide. You're going to be going down the road and say, how I got here? This is not where I wanted to go, but those strong desires is what took you there.
Yes, sir.
How many times people say, you know, it's New Year's resolution. I'm going to go to church more. You know, they talk about I'm going to pray more. I'm going to do all this here more and stuff. And then all of a sudden, you know, they find themselves not doing any of it because that desire that was in their heart was to go in another direction. And that's what took them that way. Hallelujah. So it's something how God operates. God will give you a desire and then he'll bring it to pass. He put the desire in your heart in the first place. And he put the desire in your heart so he could bring it to pass. But the thing about it is, God's desire that he's placed in your heart. See, I have to meditate on that word. I have to meditate because I got to get this thing so on the inside of me till the only way, the The Bible says, as many are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. So I'm being led by God's Spirit instead of being led by good intentions or something, you know, that I think that's a good idea. I get so full of God, get so full of understand, you know, God can't go back on his word and that kind of thing and stuff. So, man, that's what's driving me. That's what's leading me. That's what's directing me. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And I understand covenant fully. Glory to God. So, saying again, those who walk in sin, deception, and hypocrisy will reject any loyalty, commitment, and integrity in any long-term relationship. So we must give value to all God-ordained relationships. Must give value to them, whether it's between Christians or otherwise. You know, some folk only want to deal in integrity when it comes down to Christian, but they want to, when it's somebody outside the church, they want to deal crooked. No, you can't do that. No, you can't, you can't be one way this time and next time you're another way. You know what I'm saying? So there's no two standards for relationships. In fact, the relationship between Christians should go beyond the basic righteousness of man and operate on divine principles. So we must take it to the next level. Now, marriage is a covenant, not a contract. It does not operate as a partnership between two people who mutually bless each other. Now, a marriage is really between two people of the opposite sex who are imperfect people. Right? So I wonder why folk get married and think that everything's supposed to work out. See, watch this. In a covenant, covenant is based on differences, not similarities. Okay, somebody say, well, you know, we just not alike. Who wanna be married to somebody who just like you? Or who just like them? You with me? No. Marriage is based on differences. I mean, covenant is based on differences. Whenever they were just like the farmer and the warrior. Whenever the farmer and the warrior come into covenant, because the farmer know how to grow crops, but the enemy come in and steal the crops because they don't know how to fight. So they go and cut a covenant with the warriors, and the warriors gonna protect them, but the warriors don't know how to grow vegetables. So they come in covenant, one strength becomes the other. And that's the way it is. That's the way it is in marriage. One strength become another. Now, you know, I like to tell this about, you know, my wife and I, you know, my wife, she real, real organized. She wants things a certain way and that kind of thing. She used to drive me up a wall. Oh, my God. You know, I came from a house, you know, we used to have those little mayonnaise jars, you know what I'm saying? We used to drink water out of. And so we would when we finish drinking our water, we just put it in a little place in a corner, you know, on the counter. You know what I'm saying? You know, just, you know, so when I come back for a drink, I get my same little glass. You understand? So, but my wife, when we got married, every time I put a glass down, I go back for it. She washed it and put it up. So I say, why don't you just leave my glass alone? She say, well, that's germs. You leaving it out like that. I say, well, if it's germs, I've been living for all my life. And so it used to get me so irritated. If I put on something here, when I go back to look for it, she picked it up. I say, man, this don't make no sense. So I was talking to God. I said, Lord, you gotta do something with this woman. You don't do something with this woman, I don't know, we're not going to be able to make it. And the Lord say, how about if I start with you? Yeah. I said, well, Lord, what you mean? He said, now listen to me. He said, you got to understand, that's things that you're strong in, that she's weak in, but that's things that she's strong in, that you're weak in. He said, so you have to learn from her strengths. Yeah. Oh, my goodness, man. I said, now I have come to God to tell him about my wife, and the Lord has called me in the question. And the Lord asking me why I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. No, you're supposed to be learning from her strengths. He said, no, you're not supposed to be getting mad with her because of it. He said, learn how to pick up like she do. Learn how to be organized like she is. Learn from that. I said, Lord, you know, I sure thought this thing was gonna go another way. Praise God. I don't know about y'all, but you know, there's been times I went to God, you know, you know, just complaining and stuff about my wife, and the Lord always point back at me. I said, Lord, this just don't seem like it's fair. Praise God. So in a contract, these reciprocal benefits can hold a marriage relationship together. You know, a lot of times, you know, folk think that, you know, long as they're blessing each other and stuff, that's going to hold together. That's, you know, that's all right for a while. So these reciprocal benefits can hold a marriage relationship together, but the force to hold the couple together will become weaker over the years. If it's based on performance or what I can give you or what you can give me, then guess what? It's going to cause that relationship to become weak over the years. You with me? You know, marriage, you know, ceremony stuff, they talk about death do us part, can only be fulfilled when a relationship is founded on covenant, not just a contract of marriage or a license. Got to be founded on covenant. Praise God. Now, you know, other scriptures that talk about, you know, one can put 1,000 to flight, two could put 10,000. That's covenant. All right, because, look, before you got married, as a child of God, you were able to, you know, when David would go to war and stuff, David would whoop 90 men, you know what I'm saying? I mean, 1,000 men like it wasn't nothing, you know what I'm saying? Because he had God with him, all right? So once you get married, I mean, together in covenant, you go from whooping 1,000 to 10,000. You put 10,000 to flight.
Yes. Yes.
When you understand covenant, you become 10 times as powerful.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. See, that's why the scripture talks about, you know, we being heirs together in the grace of life. Tell my husband and wife being heirs together in the grace of life. And that's why we can't be opposing each other, because then our prayers can be hindered.
Yes.
Praise God. All right, a few more minutes. All right. When we understand the nature and spirit of covenant, we can see how it will protect us from the corruption of the world through lust. All right. Look what it says there in 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1 and 4. 2 Peter. See, because a marriage and no other kind of relationship, a marriage relationship can't be built on lust. If it's not the agape love that's holding, agape love got to be the glue to hold it together.
Amen.
See, it's got to be an unconditional love, you know, because if the push comes to a shell, sweetheart, you can't cook a meal, you can't perform your wifely duties, we still in love. I got two of you, man. Praise God. Two. So it has to be. So it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. We've been given great and precious promises that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of this world through lust. So lust and love both start with an L, but they're two different. They're two different entities. All right. So God is the God of covenant, and all dealings with mankind have been made on the basis of covenant. Made on the basis of covenant. Every promise in the Bible and every requirement of the believer is based on the grounds of covenant. In covenant living with God, he is bound to honor his words. And we are duty bound to maintain our part of the covenant. So God's word is full of promises. But how many of you know we must do our part so that the promises become covenant? Now, here he invited Abraham to enter into covenant with him. I want to look at Genesis 15. He offered Abraham to come into covenant with him. Let's start at verse 1. So he said, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus." And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thy heir." Now I want you to see something. Now, Abraham is 75 years old. God making a promise to him. All right. Now, God is telling him that he's going to give him a child. Now, Abraham and Sarah, they passed that time. They feel like, you understand? But now God, I want you to watch the language here, how God, because Abram want to know how this going to come to pass, how this going to be. I mean, you know, Sarah, you know, me and Sarah up in age here. How this going to be? How you going to do this? Watch it. So he says, the Bible says, "And he brought him forward abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou able to number them. And then he said unto him, so shall thy seed be." So God giving Abraham a point of reference now. He's showing Abraham, he said, this is where your seed going to be. See, because Abraham really, God, whenever God give us a promise, we have to, see that what meditating does. It starts to dealing with our imagination. We got to begin to see what God sees. So Abraham, instead of Abraham seeing all these stars, Abraham sees faces on these stars, because that's what God telling him. You understand? And then look what it said. See, because watch this. What God is dealing with Abraham internally, because God is trying to affect his belief system. Yes, so God says to him, God says, "So shall thy seed be." And then look what it said in the next verse. It said, and he believed in the Lord. Now you got to realize, Abraham was an astrologer. Abraham studied the stars. That's why God gave him that reference. Because you see, I mean, you look out, you see all these stars and stuff. This is where your seed going to be. Abraham, you know, okay. So he has it. So watch this. And then it said, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, "I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur and the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it." And he said, "Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit?" He said, "How I know it? I know you're saying it, but how do I know?" But look what the next thing that God said. And he said to him, "Take me an heifer." See right there. The Eastern culture know that now he's talking. This is serious talk, because he's talking covenant here now. See, to us, it would just, what are you going to do with a cow? What are you going to do with a heifer? But the Eastern mind, when he hear this, he's saying, oh, God is serious. Wait a minute. So God said, take a heifer of three years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a pigeon. All right. So that went on. And so it said he divided them. he didn't divide the birds. He divided other stuff. So what he did was he took the sacrifice and he cut it in half. And then he split it up. And so the blood poured in between. And right between is what they call a bloody walk. So the ones that was in covenant, they walked between the two pieces. So since it was God, so if you read it, you'll find out that the Bible said darkness came upon. God came to cut covenant with Abraham. God walked through the blood. Because in God, watch this. God was trying to get Jesus in the earth. So God had to find somebody he could trust through covenant. Because through Abraham came a family. Through a family, through Abraham came a nation. Through the nation came a family. Through that family came a woman. Through that woman came the Messiah. See, that's what God was after, and I'm out of time. Praise God.